everybody doing today? Happy Mother's Day. In case you missed it, today's Mother's Day. We are so glad that you are here. Happy Mothers that are present with us. If you will turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're gonna cover verses 1 through 4 today. Ephesians chapter 6. And the title of the message is The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, but there's this kind of famous saying, the hand that rocks the cradle controls the world. And it's the idea that the mother's influence upon everything is foundational and it's key. And what we're going to see is that when God called his people, the Israelite people, to be his people, his separate people, that would be a place, the promised land, it would be a people, a place that you would come and meet the one true God. So of all the gods in the world, they had just come out of Egypt and shown through a series of plagues that all those were false gods. And so if you wanted to meet the one true God, if you wanted to know who he was and how to know him and how to live this life out, you would go to where they were. And the idea is that this people would follow God's law, they follow his ways, and that society and that culture would be different than any other place that you would go because they were following and seeking after the one true God. And so what we see is that when Moses was on Mount Sinai, the people were commissioned to be a kingdom of priests. The Holy Land was presented as a place to go. And so there would be a witness to the world of all that God had done for them, but then also the purpose and plan for all of the world. But as we look in the Old Testament, we see that they did not do that. Instead of turning outward and being a witness to the world, they kind of turned in. But the Christian family, is that we're going to see in just a moment, is kind of a picture of this Old Testament idea of an influence in the world around them. And so if you look at the Christian family, it should be a place of joy and of harmony and of peace and love that all comes from following God's word. That family has chosen to follow Jesus Christ. They have taken his word and they have applied it to their family. And that family, like the Holy Land of old, would be a lighthouse, would be a place that would be a beacon of hope and love and purpose to the world around them. So we see a picture of this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to kind of start in Deuteronomy, then we're going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's a little bit of a lengthy verses, but I think it's worth reading. And so let's look at it, verses 1 through 8. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land of which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you. So there's two promises right there I just want to highlight. That it may go well with you, and that your days may be long. Keep going. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then verse 7, I just want to highlight. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them while you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So parents are to have an ongoing, continuing conversation about the Lord and what he means to them and his commands and his purpose and plan and all of those things. Verse 8, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so when mom and dad are out at the grocery store or they're out, the house itself actually becomes a place where the children look and they see God's word all around them. And so today we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, and for the godly mother, the best honor that could be bestowed upon her is where her child follows the ways of the Lord. Because her whole purpose and calling as a mom is to pass on, as we see in Deuteronomy, we see in all these other passages, this idea of passing on the faith to the next generation. And so all along the way of a child's life, she's talking about God. She's praying. She's doing all of these things. And so how can we honor our mothers? And how does a woman be a godly mother? That's kind of the big idea that we're going to look at. And what is the Bible's teaching on how a child can learn to follow the ways of God? So before we jump into it, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of a mother, of this example that you have given to us, of a father and a mother. And today we highlight our mothers, but just parenting in general, the Christian family. Lord, I pray that this morning will just be a time of encouragement, that it'll be a time of renewal, that it'll be a time of taking your word and applying it to our hearts. And whether we are grandparents or parents or uncles and aunts or whatever that relationship might be, Lord, that we take that relationship very serious of passing on the faith to the next generation, to be an example of what you've done and how you have changed our hearts. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we do this? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to see that there are directions that are given to children. So we start with children, and then we're going to look at directions that are given to the parents. All right, so the first in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So children in this passage here refers to children of all ages, not necessarily little guys, but all children of all ages, those children who have not yet been born, who may even still be in the home, are to honor and to obey. And this is there's a change in the relationship that happens when a man and a woman become one and they create their own household. And so the relationship between mom and dad changes at that point. We still honor them and we still follow them, but the idea, it just changes. We're not going to go into that a whole lot. But we see this idea of obey and honor. Children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Obey has to do with action. Honor has to do with attitude, how you do it. All right, so if you have a son, and let's say his name's Johnny, hypothetically, all right, and you have noticed as a parent that the trash is like mound up. I know this doesn't happen in your household. It might occasionally happen in our household where the trash is now piled up. And so mom turns to little Johnny, and he says, Johnny, take out the trash. Please take out the trash. All right, now, if we look at this passage, to obey is he takes the trash out, right? He goes, but he does it like this. I always have to take out the trash. Why did so-and-so ever have to take out the trash? Why don't you take out the trash? Blah, 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 right? So it's obeying, but the attitude is horrible, right? So you obey, but you do it in an honoring way, right? Yes, mother, I would love to take the trash out. I would love to serve the family. You have given us so much, and you are so gracious and loving. I would love to take the trash out. What else can I do, mom? How else can I help, right? Sure, I'm a little exaggerating a little bit, but the idea is the same. To obey literally means to hear under, to listen to and what was said, and then to do it. And the sense here in this word is there's an immediacy there, right? It's not, hey, son, would you take out the trash? Sure, mom, as soon as I finish this 15-hour game with my buddies, right? I'll get to that tomorrow. No, there's an immediacy here. And then in the Lord, it says, children are to obey their parents as if they're doing it for the Lord or to the Lord. It describes the quality of the obedience, right? So the quality of the obedience is you're doing it as though you're doing it for the Lord himself. You are obeying with honor. It is important for children to understand that God is over their parents. So, right, so as mom and dad, we have someone over us, God, that we report to, right? So he has his word, he has his commandments that are given to parents, and then parents then do that in the home. And so when they say, you're going to honor us or you're going to obey us, It's not because they're some kind of ego trip or like, excuse me, do you know who I am? You will honor me. No, they've been given a command by the Lord that this is what needs to happen, and so therefore they do it. And so when we discipline children, parents explain that it's both them and God that wants them to obey and to honor them. Because this is a commandment from the Lord. I am telling you, I'm telling you to do this because it's part of it. I'm sorry. I do have backup. Sorry. Great. Therefore, parents are shepherds. Here's the way to think about parenting. Is that you have a child that's been given to you for a season, right? Now, you're going to always be mom, you're going to always be dad, but there is a season in which you are to shepherd them from one point to another, and then at some point, they will create their own household, and they will go off, and they will do their own life, but you are going to get them from one point to the other, and the way that we do that is by following the Word of God, and bestowing the truth of His Word to the next generation. So when we discipline them, parents explain this. To obey their parents is to obey the Lord. To disobey their parents is to disobey the Lord because they are following the Word of God. It's also part of the discipleship process of a child. So you're like, what do we need to teach a child? What do we need to, there's like so many things in the Bible that I have to teach. What do I need to do? Part of that discipleship is teaching them how to follow the Lord. How do you teach them to follow God? You teach them to follow you, right? So you have an authority over you. They have an authority over them. We're going to always have some type of an authority that we submit to. That's just life. That's how things were created. And so the sooner that children learn that, the better off they will be. So to see that they ultimately reach that destination is our plan. So children learn how to be obedient through their relationship with their parents. We're going to see why that's so important in just a second, but we want to get that foundational idea, is that you're teaching them and discipling them how to follow the Lord by how they follow you. All right, so have you ever met a child whose parents did not require them to be obedient or did not require them to honor their parents? What was that child like? You have to say their name. You have to say it out loud, right? But we've been around children whose parents don't require them to obey or require them to honor. And so they are, by definition, disobedient, and they are rude and dishonoring, right? That's how they are. And what we're going to see is that when those children begin to grow up, they rebel against authority. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. It's the basis for his later attitude toward all other people. How they relate to other people is directly related to how you relate to your parents. So the most important lesson for a child to learn in this period is that as an individual, they are under authority. She has been made by God. It has a responsibility to obey God in all things. And that's the deal. All right. So while they obeying is a matter of action, right? Take out the trash. Honor is a matter of the heart. It involves a relationship. And so the way that we disciple and teach our children is through this relationship that we have with them. Think of this discipline as a circle of protection. Or it's a circle of protection around them. Within the circle is blessing and long life. We're going to see in just a minute that if you do these things, if you will teach your children to honor and obey, we see several times in scriptures, not even just once, it's several times, that their life will go well. It will go well with them, and they will have a long life. And in the Older Testament, it talks about a long life in the land. And by the time you get to Ephesians and Philippians and some other passages, it talks about they'll just have a longer life. So think about it this way. A child who does not learn to obey or honor, then goes on to be older and they're disrespectful and rude. And so now they want to get their first job. right? So now they're told by their boss at work, take out the trash. Excuse me, I don't do trash. I didn't do trash at home. I'm sure I'm not going to do trash now, right? Excuse me, get out of here. You're fired, right? Go to school. They go to school, and the teacher tells them, "Okay, everybody, sit down. Be quiet. Stop talking. Let's start learning." And so they start going through the thing, and they're like, "Excuse me, you need to stop talking, please. We need to have time of instruction. You don't tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm gonna do what I want to do. How's that going to go? It's not going to go well. They're going to go to the principal's office. It's not going to go well." So in order to help them be successful in life, the parents begin with honor and obey. Now, the reason that they are to obey and honor is because it is right, right? It says, for this is right. The person that has wiped your behind, provided food for you for long food, like forever, right? They even put it in your mouth when you were not capable of chewing it yourself. Tucked you into bed, put clothes on your back, put a baseball bat in your hand, all the things, and then that person goes, I'm going to be rude and disrespectful to that person? For that's not right. Right? It's not right. Now, what do we learn from that? God, who gives us the very breath that we breathe each and every moment, who provides all the things that we need, and in excess, right? If you start going through the list of your counter many blessings, you can start going through that list, you're like, holy cow, he is so good to me. And then you're going to be rebellious and disrespectful and rude to God. Like that's the process that God is saying. If you're going to build a successful society, if you're going to have a culture of people who all live together, the children need to be taught to obey and honor, because that doesn't just affect your household, it affects everyone within that culture. So if you go back to our original promised land illustration, is that if you were in amongst God's people and you were a child who was disobedient to the parents, do you know what would happen? I didn't give you this one, Nick. This is just for free, this one. Do you know what would happen? You would be taken out and stoned. It was that serious of an offense. So the reason is that it's just right. It's wrong. It's a command by God that we are to do it, but at the same time, it's just right. It's just the right thing to do, to do this. So when God introduced the law in the form of the Ten Commandments, the first four of the Ten Commandments dealt with how do I relate to God, right? Put God first, know other gods before me. And then the last six, the fifth commandment, and the rest of them deal with how do I relate with other people. But that fifth commandment is a hinge between how we relate to God and how we relate to other people. Honor your father and your mother. It's critical. And it says in Exodus 20, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord may give you. That the Lord is giving you. So a child can have no better inheritance than the godly teaching, example, and correction of their parents. Right? So if you're thinking, what am I going to pass on to the next generation? How can I assure that they are going to be successful? And you're thinking like college savings plan, or you're thinking like, I'm going to buy them a car. The best thing that you could do is to have them obey and honor you. Because that will pay off countless dividends in the future. All right, so then look at 2 Timothy. Here's an example of chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. So this is Paul. He's talking about Timothy, his young protege. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit of not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Timothy had a Christian family, specifically a mother and a grandmother, that played a major role in what he would do in his future life. Like as he grew up, he would go on to become a solid Christian who then sets himself apart with Paul, who's his, and then he goes on to become a great leader in the early church based upon what his grandmother and mother taught him at a young age. So, honor your father and mother, for this is right, right? Children, obey your parents. Then we go to verse 3. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The result for a child who is obedient and honors his parents is twofold. Number one, that it may go well with you. This is the quality of life. Right? Everybody wants their child to be, starts with the H, we all say it. We want our kids to be, okay, let's try it again. Everybody wants their kids to be, and the word starts with an H, happy, right? That's what we always say. We always want our kids to be happy. I want you to be happy in this life, right? I want things to go well with you. I want this. This is dealing with the quality of life, right? You want their life to be overall peaceful, joyful, nice. You want that quality to be good. You want it to be a good life. So you teach them to honor and obey. Secondly, that you may enjoy long life on earth. This relates to the quantity of life. If you live to be 95 years old, but you're under maximum security in prison, we would say, that's a nice long life, but the quality of life's probably not there, right? Or, and so this is a general principle of Scripture. So what does that mean? That means that you can go and find an example of someone who lived a godly example but died early, like they got cancer. You're going to find that, right? And you're going to also find an example of someone who's like 105 years old and it's just the most despicable, horrible person that you know, right? Yeah, you're going to be able to go find that. Biblical principles are, in general, if you follow these general principles, these things will happen. It's like a cause and cause and effect that kind of happens. For most people, if you just follow this general principle, honor your parents, obey them and honor them, this typically is what's going to happen. Now, in this illustration, we've got the kid that's within the circle. He's honoring his parents. He's doing that. But now he's gotten to where now he's being disobedient, and he's not honoring his parents, right? Just rude and disrespectful and is just not honoring them. His life goes from being going well. His teachers are like, hey, come on in. Good to see you, Johnny. We're so glad you're here today. We're going to learn all kinds of stuff. And he's like, yay. Or the patrol officer pulls him over and goes, I'm sorry, officer. I realized I was going 10 miles over. I apologize for that. Okay, sir, get out of here. Right? It's going to go well versus now he's outside that circle. Right? And he's being rude and disrespectful to his teacher, and the patrol officer pulls him over, and he's like, he rolls up the window, and he's like, I'm not talking to you. I don't know. Just rude and disrespectful. Right? That's not going to go well. We got to get him back into the circle. That is parenting. That is parenting in a nutshell. Right? Your kids are going to drift out, and you drift them back in. You drift them out, and you drift them back in. You drift them out, and hopefully they don't stay out there too long, and they drift back in. So if a child is outside the safety of God's teaching, then the child must be corrected back into the circle. We're not going to talk about correction. We're going to leave that up to you guys, but that's part of the parenting process. Now, that's the kids. So you're like, so glad I came to church today because now I got to go and blah, blah, blah. Well, there's also some instructions for the parents. All right, so Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. By Roman law, the father had absolute authority in the home. Absolute. Whether you were the wife, the slave, the child, didn't matter. The dad in the home had absolute authority. He could cast any of them out of the house at any point. He could sell them into slavery if he wanted to. He could even kill them if he wanted to without any repercussions. He had absolute authority in the home. He was accountable to no one. Now, as an example of this, a newborn, when a newborn came into the world, would be presented to the father in the home, right? And it would be laid at his feet. And if the father took the child and picked it up and held it, the child would be allowed to live. If it was presented at his feet and the dad stood up and he just walked away, then they would take that infant child, they would go out to the outparts of town, and they would just leave it. And it was called exposing the child. They'll just expose it and walk away. So the dad had and that's, by the way, where Christian orphanages started, just as an aside, is that Christianity kind of fixed that problem because we went and gathered up those little babies and we started orphanages. That's a side point. Dad had absolute authority. So today, in many ways, you're like, wow, we don't have that type of authority, but we have great power to determine. And it's not just a reference to dads, it's a reference to parents. And this idea of the power and influence a parent has over their kids. So we have the power to determine what happens to the child when they're older through how we interact with them when they're younger. So through fathers, usually male parents, it was sometimes used in parents as general, this word for authority, this parent. But because the father is the head of the home, it was more likely that he's going to be the one that's instituting rules and procedures and saying this is how things are going to be in this house and that kind of thing. And it's more likely that he would then provoke the child. So, and it says to provoke to anger. Now this suggests a repeated, ongoing pattern of treatment that gradually builds up a deep-seated anger and resentment that boils over into hostility. Right? So it's this ongoing attitude, this ongoing thing that the dad particularly, but parents can do, that would eventually just cause the kid to just be resentful and it would overflow. So it's behavior that parents do that disrupts the relationship between the parent and the child. So the whole way this works is a good relationship between the parent and the child. The only way that our relationship works with us being obedient and following God and giving Him honor is to, what is that quality of relationship between us and the Lord? Remember, that's ultimately where we're going. So, such treatment is usually what parents do things like that. They're not intending to provoke anger, right? They're not intending to damage the relationship. They're not intending to do these things. Like, it was not my intention originally to cause the harm to you. But it's things that parents do that would cause them to do that. So what can a parent do to provoke the child to anger? I want to give you five examples real quick. Number one is you show favoritism to one child over another. Classic example is Joseph and his brothers. Here's the quote. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age and he made him a robe of many colors, right? So he has one child, he says, oh, we love this child, I'm going to give you this favorite coat, and he puts the coat on. Historians would tell us that that coat usually was a coat of authority, which means that even though he was younger, he was given authority over the older brothers. But when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all of his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Who did that? Dad did that, right? Dad did that. So it's when you do something, you favor one child over another to where it causes resentment amongst the ranks. Number two, smothering the child with overprotection or showing no affection at all for the child. So it's kind of either side. Jacob and Esau are examples of this, right? So Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So you have two boys. Mom loved one, dad loved the other, and it was clear. It was clear. Mom would pull one into the tent, and they're like, oh, let's talk, and blah, 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 blah. Let's scheme against dad, right? That's the whole kind of how that story goes. So when you show you just smother with overprotection or you don't show any affection at all. Thirdly, one of the ways that we can cause resentment and anger and this distance to build is to have no rules, right? Or not making them follow them. You have rules, but you don't follow them. Or having too many rules where the spirit of the child is crushed. No matter what they do, they can never, like, keep the rules. Like, there's so many rules that I tried. You just get crushed. An example of this is David's daughter was sexually assaulted by her half-brother. David is furious. But he doesn't do anything about it. And then Absalom, her full brother, kills the other brother. David, dad, doesn't do anything. He's upset, but he doesn't do anything. And so you have these series of things that happen, but dad doesn't do anything. Like, he's just there. And the things happen, but, well, you know, it's just, you know. Well, that will totally destroy the family. And we see that with David, right? David goes on. David's life from the time that he gets with Bathsheba from then on, is his life just spirals down. But that's an example of something that's going on. Number four, pushing children to achieve to where there's nothing the child can do that's good enough. Or the opposite, never expecting the child to achieve anything. Oh, let me see your report card. What you got? Oh, a B. I thought for sure you'd get a B+. Oh, you got a B. I thought you were going to get an A. What's going on with that? Oh, you got an A. Why not an A+? It just never matters. It's never good enough, right? You try. But then the other thing is, oh, let me see your report card. Oh, a C. I never thought you'd get a C. Wow, that's amazing. I didn't think you'd actually amount to anything, right? Those words are like shattering. Spirit, like, just destroying. And the words that parents say like that. So, and fifthly, not allowing a child to communicate or not caring when they do, right? The kid comes to you, hey, dad, I want to talk about blah, blah, blah. Hey, dad, can we talk about, hey, I want to talk about this. You're like, I don't really want to talk to you right now. I'm busy. Or you just don't care what they say. So not allowing the child to communicate at all, or not caring when they do. So when we go back to the Ephesians, Paul is ruling out excessively severe discipline, unreasonably harsh demands, abuse of authority, unfairness, constant nagging and condemnation, subjecting a child to humiliation. That's another thing that's like spirit. If you've ever seen a parent just absolutely humiliate their child in front of other people, that is destroying of a relationship. It says, and so Colossians 3:21 helps us kind of understand these things. Like, why should a parent not provoke their child to anger? Colossians kind of is the same idea, but it adds to it. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. They just quit, right? They just quit. I quit trying. And then now you've got a kid whose spirit has been crushed, and they just stop trying at life. And so, how do you fix that? Well, parenting is a series of mistakes that are made on both sides. Mom and dad make mistakes. Kids make mistakes. That's where grace, mercy, and love come in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we say, hey, look, I made a mistake. I got this one wrong. I made a mistake. I should never have said that. I'm sorry. Kids do stuff that they shouldn't have done. Dad, mom, I made a mistake. I should not have done that. I'm sorry. Let's rebuild the connection. Let's rebuild the relationship. So then it goes on to say, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline refers to the overall systematic training of children, right? This just idea of, like, we're going to have these things that we teach our kids. It carries the idea of correction of wrongdoing. We see this in Proverbs 13. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Discipline. And then you have instruction, which is literally to put into the mind. You take something and you put it into the mind. It refers to a type of instruction that's found in Proverbs, where the primary focus is on how do you take God's word and apply it to your life, not just a series of information, like what's the capital of Nevada, whatever. It's not that type of information. It's how do I take God's word and apply it to my life. Dad, you've been a Christian forever. How long? Mom, you've been a Christian for, how do you do this thing called Christianity? How do you do this thing called life? And you instruct them. And the key to right discipline and instruction is being of the Lord, being in the Lord. Everything parents do for their kids and children are to be of Him. It deals with this principle of behavior more than just factual information, right? It's in Him. So, this morning, the question is, are you in the Lord? Because as a grandparent, parent, uncle, someone that's trying to influence the next generation, you are not going to be effective in doing that the way Scripture says if you yourself are not in the Lord. So the first is, are you saved? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? And then how are you going to possibly have a Christian household if you yourself are not a Christian? And then, okay, so now I need to teach my kids to read the Bible and to memorize Scripture and to do the things that we would call spiritual disciplines. How do they learn that except by you modeling it? And so then the next question is, okay, well, now you're a Christian, but are you modeling behavior there that the children can look at and follow? And then children, are you obeying and honoring your parents? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you love us enough to allow us to see how our actions might affect our relationship with you, how it may affect the next generation. And Lord, you are a God of grace and love and mercy that forgives and encourages and, Lord, gives us second chances. And so, Lord, we just thank you for a day like Mother's Day where we can recognize Mom and the things that she got right. Lord, we maybe could take this day as an opportunity to restore relationships so they're stronger. Lord, it might be an opportunity for us to pass on certain things to the next generation. Lord, these are just opportunities that you present to us because you are a good and loving and gracious God. And so, Lord, I pray that you will take this time of invitation, this opportunity to have a conversation with you. And, Lord, that we will not let it pass by. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team is going to come. If you'll please stand, we want to give